Ohjelman tarjoaa Basan Books ja www.viisaselama.fi. Mitä parhainta, keskiviikkoiltaa Radio Helsingistä. Kuuntelet Vaiheessa lähetystä ja mun nimi on Mili Kaikkonen. Tänään puhutaan vetovoiman laista, eli siitä, olemmeko oikeasti sitä, mitä ajattelemme, ja onko se niin, että me aina niitetään sitä, mitä me kylvätään. Viime vuosina vetovoiman lakiteema on tosiaan tullut tutuksi suurelle yleisölle. Olet mitä ajattelet, ajatus ei sinänsä ole uusi, mutta viimeistään vuonna 2006 ilmestynyt salaisuuselokuva ja kirja toivat ajatukset maailmanlaajuiseen tietoisuuteen. Vetovoiman laki onkin yksi modernin henkisyyden puhutuimmista teemoista. Mitä vetovoiman laki sitten tarkoittaa käytännössä? Filosofia pohjautuu siihen, että vedämme puoleemme sen, mitä ajattelemme, ja ajatuksia muuttamalla voimme luoda itsellemme mielekkäämmän todellisuuden. Kuulostaa simppeliltä, mutta ei aina toimi. Hämmennys valtaa mielen, kun aletaan pohtia vaikkapa sitä, että tarkoittaako inhimilliset tunteet, kuten vaikka pelko, sitä, että me vedetään sitten puoleen just niitä asioita, mitä me ei haluta. Miksi vauraus, rakkaus ja terveys eivät sitten tule, vaikka mä niitä kuinka ajattelen? Studiovieraanamme tänään on kirjailija, matkatoimittaja ja luennoitsija Pam Grouch, joka kirjallaan E-potenssiin 2 vie vetovoiman lakiteemaa pidemmälle esittelemällä 9 periaatetta, joiden avulla kuka tahansa voi testata vetovoiman lain toimivuutta ja todistaa, että maailman kaikkeudessa todellakin on myönteinen, rakastava ja mahtava voima. Grouch kirjoittaa kirjassaan, että henkiset periaatteet ovat yhtä luotettavia kuin painovoima ja yhtä johdonmukaisia kuin mekaniikan peruslait. Grouch lupaa, että kirjan kautta meille avautuu uudenlainen maailma. Welcome to the studio, Pam Grouch.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be here.
So you're really into law of attraction, and you've written 2 books about it.
Well, you know, people call it the law of attraction, and that is exactly what I'm writing about, but I don't know if I use those words in my book. I think now I've started, I mean, I've been, my blog was chosen as best law of attraction blog, and so now I realize what I write about is law of attraction. However, that's not the terminology that I actually use in my book. But certainly that's the same, it's the exact same principles that I talk about in my book, even if I don't necessarily call it law of attraction. I say it's a consistent principle that works as well as the law of gravity. It's what we think about comes back to us. So it's similar to the law of attraction, so I don't always call it that.
Pam Grouch, I would be interested to hear about your history. How did you arrive into where you are now? Obviously, it's going to be a long story, but... how did you start researching this subject?
I'm a student of the Course in Miracles, and so partly I learned about this through the Course in Miracles, but it's something as a writer I've learned, because writers more than anybody know a couple things. One of them is that when you're really connected to the bigger thing, you know, the I call it in the book, the field of infinite potentiality. When you're connected to that thing that's bigger than your just physical body, you know you're tuned in and miracles happen. So as a writer, I already knew that. I recognize that when I'm writing a piece and I'm really connected, like I said, magic happens. Miracles happen. So I knew that, and I also knew that I knew how to create something from nothing, because as a writer, you start out, there's just a blank page. And so you start writing and then something is created. So those are 2 things I learned in my career as a journalist, as a writer. And it just translates quite well into what now is, of course, called the law of attraction. I know that when you're hooked up to the bigger thing, life works. I know that when you, the thoughts that you put out, it's also a quantum physics principle that it's called the observer effect. And whatever you look at, you're constantly influencing everything that you look at. Your energy's going out and interacting with this big field, and it comes back to you almost like a magnet. Your thoughts are magnetic. They go out into this big field, and they bring back a vibrational match. And it's been proven over and over again in the science labs all over the world.
You say in your book that the law of attraction is as reliable as gravity. What made you realize that it really works?
I think some people think, well, it doesn't work. I said I wanted a Lamborghini and there's no Lamborghini in my driveway. But what happens when you, let's say you, let's to use Lamborghini, maybe we should pick an easier car to say. Let's say you want a new, a Dodge, or I don't know, what's a car you'd have in Finland?
Probably a Toyota or something.
Okay, let's say you want a Toyota. It's like you want a new Toyota. But the minute you launch that desire, that intention, what comes up for you is that's impossible, or I how can I get that? And so actually, even though you think you're focusing on what you want, you're oftentimes focusing more on the lack of having it. So it does work completely. It's reflecting back to you what your thoughts are, but a lot of us have these mental constructs that say that that's impossible, this can't work. And so we come in with this architecture, this mental architecture, and it will play out in your life according to your mental architecture. So one of the most important things you can do is to become open to connect to that bigger thing, where at that point you are connected to everything, and you know, life is easy, it's joyful, and it works out.
So what I'm hearing from you, that this isn't hard. It's not meant to be hard, but still we think it's hard. We think it's difficult to master, or we think it can happen to other people, but not to us. So what would be, on your opinion, other common misconceptions about this?
There's a lot of misconceptions. And what you just mentioned is one of the big ones, that it is hard. Everyone believes, you know, that life sucks and then you die. I mean, that's a phrase we use in the U.S. I don't know if you have that here in Finland, but a lot of people believe that. They think that's the way the world works. And as long as you're believing that, and that's your mental architecture, that's what's going to play out in your life. People think it has to be difficult, that life is supposed to be hard. And as long as you believe that, you will find that reality. If you get to the point where you can believe that, like it says in the Course in Miracles, perfect joy is my right. That's my divine right, perfect joy and perfect happiness. That's such a radical concept for most people. And because of it being such a radical concept, then they get the fact that, well, that can't work. But if you can really surrender to that bigger force and really believe that perfect joy and happiness is your divine right, perfect peace, perfect happiness, that is what is available to all of us. If we can believe that, if we can let go of the mental constructs that have prevent it from coming in.
And I suppose in order to let go of the mental constructs, we have to become aware of them first, because sometimes we don't even question our own belief systems, I think.
That's so true. And that's a really good point, because these mental constructs are such a part of the way we view the world. And we only see a small bit of the world. We see, I can't remember what the percentage is, but it's like 0.01% of what's available to us. And that may not even be accurate, but it's minuscule. What we see, we let in, what we see is what we've been conditioned to believe is what's out there. So once we can open up to more possibilities, to me, the most important thing is to be open to possibilities, to be open-minded, to believe that there could be a different way. In fact, Course in Miracles is very clear. You get to this point, you go, there's got to be a better way. There has to be a better way. And once you say that, it's like a little bit of a surrender. And at that point, you know, other possibilities can come in. It's like you've opened your door, you open the possibilities to start coming in. So that's just so important, that moment where you realize, wow, this just isn't working. I don't like the way it is. So then you might be willing to surrender a little bit and open to that other bigger thing.
And there's always going to be at least one, yeah, but ... this can't work because ... or, you know, yeah, but, you know, I have to feed my family, or yeah, but the last guy walked out on me, or yeah, but my mom had cancer.
All the yeah buts definitely get in the way, and we all have our yeah buts. So again, if we can open up to go beyond those, that's when the magic and miracles happen. I've gotten to the point where I believe our job is not to critique, but to create. So a yeah but is a critique or a judgment. So we all tend to judge. We all tend to critique, well, this can't be the right way. This shouldn't be happening. When you surrender to whatever is, that's when miracles happen. And once you start becoming grateful and looking for blessings and miracles, that's when it happens. And one of the things that's cool about this book is all I ask for people to suspend their judgment for 2 days. It's 48 hours. That's pretty simple. The most cynical of all people could say, okay, fine, this can't work, but I'll give it a 2-day try. And so when that happens, that just is a little toe in the door to let some of this stuff come in. So that's why I think these experiments are really good. They're just baby steps. They're just introducing people to these principles. But I think once they see, wow, this is pretty cool. And in fact, in my next book, E Cubed, which is the follow-up to E Squared, I've got a whole long chapter with all these stories that people have sent to me about these miracles that have come into their lives. I always say that even if I didn't believe in this before, which of course I did, that's why I wrote the book, there is no way I could possibly not believe it now, because literally every day I go to my computer, I open my email, and there's, you know, all these amazing stories that people send me. You know, they're like these jumbo jets of joy that are coming into my email. And I feel so blessed and so lucky that I get to hear these stories from people every day of things that they're, wow, they're like, they're opening their eyes for the first time. It's like, in fact, somebody said that their belief about how septic the world is has totally changed now. It's like, I'm letting a little bit of light come in.
Hopefully we'll hear one or two of those stories later on in the program. But let's listen to the first song you've chosen for us this evening. And you've chosen Happy by Pharrell Williams. Why this song, Pam Grout?
I use this song sometimes in my workshops to do a little experiment, because I believe we can make ourselves happier. I believe that once our joy channels are open, then all the miracles can start happening. I think as long as we keep, you know, really firmly tight to this belief that life sucks and then you die, you know, that's what you're going to get. So Pharrell Williams, listening to this song makes me so happy. And in the next book, I use this song as an experiment to kind of get the momentum of your day going, really looking for blessings and miracles from the very beginning. When you get up, I say every morning, something amazingly awesome is going to happen to me today. And this song is just perfect for that.
Kuuntelet siis Radio Helsinkiä 98.5 ja vaiheessa lähetystä. Mun nimi on Mili Kaikkonen ja vieraana studiossa tänään on kirjailija, luennoitsija ja matkatoimittaja Pam Grout, kenen kanssa keskustellaan hänen kirjoittamastaan E-potenssiin 2 kirjasta ja siitä, että miten meidän ajatukset muovaa meidän todellisuuden ja siitä, kuinka ihmeitä tapahtuu koko ajan, jos itsenne vaan itsellemme osaamme sallia. Tämän lähetyksen aikana myöskin arvomme 5 kirjaa, eli 5 E-potenssiin 2 kirjaa. Jos sellaisen kirjan haluaisit, jos tämä aihe sinua kiinnostaa, niin laita sähköpostia osoitteeseen vaiheessa @radiohelsinki.fi. Ja muistathan laittaa mukaan postitusosoitteesi. 5 ensimmäistä saavat kirjan lahjana Basan Booksilta, eli meidän ohjelmasponsorilta. Mutta palataan tosiaan päivän aiheeseen. Pam Grout, I'm sorry about the Finnish bit, but your Finnish is great, isn't it? You know how to say thank you now.
Kiitos.
We talked about what it means creating your reality. What does it really mean, and how the mental constructs that we have might actually hinder us from creating what we truly desire. I don't really want to use the word want, because that's a bit flat. It talks about, well, to me, it talks more about what the mind wants rather than what the heart wants. And I think what the heart wants is more important, but who knows. So you did mention the mental constructs and our conditioning. And I would like to sort of elaborate a little bit more on that, because obviously we all have negative emotions sometimes, and we are all sometimes afraid of something, and it's human, it's part of human life. But how can we work those? If, for example, I wanted to manifest the new Toyota or 1 million euro or whatever, but I felt like I didn't earn it, and that feeling of being sort of undeserving would really color my, I suppose, my intention. So what should I do? What would you say to that?
One of the main things that if people can get the fact that the universe loves them unconditionally and wants to bless them, wants to give them miracles, most people think that's crazy. So that's the first thing you really have to get, is that this is a benevolent universe. This is a universe that wants to give us our heart's desire, that wants to bless us, wants to provide us with miracles. And so once you can get into that mindset, believing that that is the natural state, that will help a lot. But those mental constructs are very strong. We learn it from the time we are kids. I tell a story in my new book about a five-year-old boy that really wants to go in and talk to his new baby sister. And the parents, you know, they've heard about sibling rivalry, and they're like, no, no, for sure, if I want, you know, him to go in there and have alone time with his baby sister. And so finally, they, you know, he just was so persistent. I have to have some alone time with my baby sister. So he, you know, they finally let him in. They stand outside the door so they can hear. And he, you know, goes over there. He looks into the cradle and he says, "Tell me about God. I'm starting to forget." And I think that's what happens. You know, we come in radiating pure love, pure joy. We know we're deserving of everything. But again, our culture, our conditioning, our mental constructs teach us that we have to follow these seven steps to get to here. We have to do this. We have to earn this. So no one tells you that if you follow your joy, if you follow your bliss, life will work out. People always say, "I want to know the universe's guidance. I want to know what I'm supposed to do." What you're supposed to do is follow your bliss. If you're not taught that from the time you're, I mean, you don't even need to learn it. We need to unlearn the things that we're taught. If our parents didn't teach us, and I'm not dissing anybody's parents, I mean, they did the best that they could. They really believe that we have to work really hard to make this happen. But what happens in the reality, in the bigger picture, when you're connected to the bigger thing, you can go from A to Z and back again, but it's, you don't have to go A to B to C to D. That's how we believe that it's going to be really hard, and you have to put your nose to the grindstone, and you have to, you know, earn it. That's not the way it is. But again, this might sound like such a foreign concept to people, which goes to show this is your mental construct. This is what you believe. If this sounds like a pie in the sky, it's an expression we use in the States, idea, then that tells you something like, how can that be? That's a mental construct. And again, these mental constructs are so much a part of us that we don't even recognize them. You know, the little boy, the little five-year-old boy, he realizes, I'm losing it. I'm losing that connection to the joy and miracles. And he wants to get it back from that baby sister that's just been born into this body and hasn't yet learned the mental architecture that we all learn.
That would have been my next question, actually, Pam Grouch, because I feel what I hear from people through my work and my friends, and we sometimes talk about these things. And sometimes it seems like, yeah, we would like to follow our bliss or the joy, but we don't know what that is. How can we find out, Pam Grouch?
What makes you happy? You know, what sounds like fun to do? And I think when we do close down those channels, I think sometimes it is more difficult to recognize. But if you get up every morning and start looking for miracles, the gratitude to me is the secret to everything. And people go, "Oh, that's a small little thing." But I'll tell you what's changed my life more than anything is I get up, like I said, every morning and say, "Something great's going to happen to me today." That's the first thought I have. So it sets that momentum. And then I have a little, what I call my power posse, and it's five friends. And every day we send each other blessings from the day before. Now, the thing that's unique about this, because a lot of people have talked about gratitude, each day it has to be something completely different. You know, I was always like, "Oh, I love my daughter. Oh, I love my career," you know, all that. But no, this has to be something different. You cannot do a repeat. So I feel like I'm this pioneer, this scout out there looking for blessings and miracles. That's my intention, to see the blessings and miracles. And once you decide to see that and to start being thankful and grateful and to say, "This is the best thing that ever happened to me," even the thing that before you might have judged as a problem, as "This can't be," even that, to be grateful for that, to be grateful for everything.
I've read something once that was written by somebody very wise, and it said, if there was only one prayer in the world, thank you would suffice.
I love that.
Do you remember who wrote it?
I think it might have been Meister Eckhart, but it's,
you're probably right. That rings a bell. It's really beautiful, yeah. I think, and I think it's very true
it
as well.
It is very true.
Pam Grout, you talk also about sort of, well, you talk about faith in your book, because obviously in order for this to work, in order for you to become a creator of your own life, and in order for you to really see those miracles that you talk about, you need to believe. What is the power of faith, Pam Grout?
See, here's the thing. We're all already creators. We can't not be creators. So it's just a question of, where is your faith? Is your faith in these mental constructs that say life is hard, or is your faith in this power that wants to bless you? So that's where faith comes in. All of us work the law of attraction all the time. As I said, it's as dependable as gravity. It's just that instead of, we're looking for what's missing instead of looking for what's already there. Once you start focusing on the blessings, on the gratitude, on the wonderful things that are happening, even if you have to make something up when you get started, because again, you have to work up like a muscle. You have to get used to looking for and expecting that you're going to see wonderful things every day. So it's really not a question of faith or does this work. It's a matter of, where is your faith? What do you believe in? Where do you believe that it's hard? If you believe it's hard, you're going to get plenty of evidence for that. It's going to come back to you that way. If you believe the world wants to bless you, and you believe that miracles and blessings are natural, that will be your experience. It really is a matter of where you put your faith.
So Pam Grout, what does this all mean in practical terms?
It changes everything. My entire life has changed as I became a seeker of blessings and miracles. And that may not sound practical to you or to someone else, but it is the most practical thing. It's the most practical thing for finding a life of joy, is by expecting to find that, to look for that. And I'm not as big, a lot of people, you know, we're talking about the Toyota in the driveway. I'm not free in my own life. I've come to trust this force of benevolence so much that I don't even necessarily ask for specific things anymore. I just want to be led to what I'm meant to do. I want to be led to who I'm meant to talk to. I want to be led to where I can help and where I can serve. And then, I mean, it's like I'm walking down this yellow brick road. I mean, everything just unfolds easily. And see, that's how it's supposed to work. Once you get on this particular vibrational, it's like tuning in a radio station. You know, most of us are tuned into, I like to call it KF, whatever. But if you're tuned into the joy channel, and that's what it is, it's like changing your vibration, literally changing the radio dial to Radio Helsinki, you know, to a really good, happy, positive vibe, then you can hear that. Most of us are still listening to that other radio station. So once you get on that vibe, on that energy field, the energy force, everything just works effortlessly. And this may sound pie in the sky to people, but if you just start with that gratitude, you talk about practical, that's the way to get started. Just every day say, today I'm going to at least see three things I'm grateful for. Make them up in the beginning. If it doesn't come natural to you, eventually you'll see so many. It's like, oh, wow. How, like my texts are now, you know, they could go on and on and on. It's like, oh, wow, I'm going to have to wait till tomorrow to tell them about this. And, you know, they never stop once you start looking. It's like digging for oil. Once you hit it, it just, shoom, it comes out all the time, everywhere.
I really like the sound of that. And we're going to talk more about miracles later in the program. But one thing that sort of came into my mind while you were talking about, you know, faith and almost like choosing what kind of lens you choose to look at life through. What about if you really are sort of getting it and feeling it, or even if you don't feel it yet, you have the desire and the need to change, and you know you want to really see that there's something more to life than this. What if your environment doesn't support it, Pam Grout? What would you say?
Well, I can't really think of an environment that would not support it. In that you can find those blessings even in you can be in prison, and most of us are in mental prisons, but you can be anywhere and you can find something to be grateful for. So the environment, will support it no matter where you are. But I know what you're saying about if you think you're around negative people. But again, that's a judgment. What I've noticed as I become more positive, as I become more happy, the people around me change. Everybody that we see is actually like a mirror. You know, the people we see, what we see in our environment is like a mirror. And just like when you look in the mirror and notice your mascara is smudged, you don't try to fix it on the mirror. You have to fix it on you. And that's really what you're seeing out there in the world is a reflection of your inner beliefs. So you have to kind of change it inside. So you can find it wherever it is, because it's just a reflection. What we're seeing out there is a reflection of what's in here.
And also the power of choice. If something doesn't resonate and if you don't feel that it's aligned with you, then you have a choice.
That's true. We yeah. always have a choice. Always it's always choice. Love or fear. Everything's love or fear. That's a big lesson from the Course in Miracles. And that's really the only two real emotions. A lot of the other negative things are just fear in disguise. So you're either loving everything and gratitude of everything, or you're whatever it might be, there's some sort of fear there. You're afraid to let go. You're afraid to surrender to that bigger thing. You're afraid that thing doesn't have your back. All of us think the universe doesn't have our back when it does. So that's the one lesson. If you can just get that, that's all you need, that the universe wants to bless you. The universe has your back always, 100% of the time.
And It Is a Wonderful World, which is the next song you have chosen by Louis Armstrong. Why did you choose this song, Pam Grout?
I love this song. I used to play it on the piano when I was young, and it just makes me smile when I hear it. I've also run it on my blog a couple times. I just did a version with Richard Attenborough from London that I guess he just recently died. But anyway, it was him, you know, with all the nature, and it was just beautiful. It was actually a YouTube.
Kuuntelet siis Radio Helsinkiä 98.5 keskiviikkoiltana. Tämä on vaiheessa lähetyksen viimeinen osio. Mun nimi on Mili Kaikkonen ja vieraana studiossa meillä on Pam Grout, joka on amerikkalainen kirjailija, luennoitsija ja matkatoimittaja. Hän kertoo meille kirjastaan E-potenssiin 2 ja myöskin ihmeiden oppikurssiin perustuvasta maailmankatsomuksesta, mikä on äärimmäisen mielenkiintoista. Edellisen mainostauon jälkeen mainitsin juuri, että jos haluat tämän kirjan lukea E-potenssiin 2, niin 5 ensimmäistä voittaa kirjan, jos vaan laitat mailia osoitteeseen vaiheessa@radiohelsinki.fi. Muistathan laittaa mukaan postiosoitteesi siltä varalta, että Onnetar sinua suosii. Ohjelman Facebook-sivut myöskin löytyvät osoitteesta facebook.com/ollaanvaiheessa. Mutta palataan tosiaan illan aiheeseen, eli siihen, kuinka me itse voimme luoda, tai itse asiassa Pam Groutin mukaan, kuinka itse luomme oman todellisuutemme, ajattelimme sitä tai emme. Ja puhutaan vähän lisää siitä, että kuinka elämä on ihmeitä täynnä. Pam Grout, I was just saying that in the last part of the program, you said we are creators of our own lives, whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not. And I think that's a really new way of looking at things for many people. Must be.
It's really tempting always to play the victim and to believe that things are happening to you. But the truth is, life emanates from you. Again, your inner is reflected in the outer world. So what we're seeing out there is really a reflection of our beliefs in here. And so it's 100% of the time true. That's why I say it's just like, it's like gravity. It works all the time. It's just a reflection of what's inside, what you believe, what mental constructs you have set up about the way the world is, about the way your luck is, about the way, you know, what you're worthy of.
Pam Grout, I really love this idea of us being creators of our own lives. And I think my own life has been really a testament to the fact that miracles do happen, and I still witness small miracles every day, and they make me feel really grateful. Mm-hmm. So would you like to share a story or two about miracles with us?
Oh, some of the experiments, some of the stories I've heard from people that have done the experiments. Well, like I said, every day I get new stories. Everything from, okay, the first experiment in the book is to ask for a sign from the universe that you are that the universe cares about you, that the universe loves you, to ask for a blessing.
So there are nine experiments,
there
right?
There are nine yes. experiments, but the first one is just to say, is it really true that the universe might have my back? So you actually set it up, and I have these little lab report sheets in there. So some of the blessings that people have gotten, everything from lots of money. One woman got $100,000. One woman, her name was Johanna, and she turned on the radio, and this song, Johanna, Johanna, was playing. I mean, so the kinds of blessings that people are getting are just unbelievable. One guy just today sent me a thing that, you know, again, it's all in how we interpret it, but he said he had his coffee cup, you know, on a piece of paper or something. He picked it up, and there was a little smiley face. So not only it was his cup with a little smiley face there, and he said, oh, that's the universe saying, I love you. But so all kinds of things have happened. One woman, she was an only child, and she always wished that she had more family members. That was her desire her entire life. So when she was doing the experiment in the 48 hours, she found out she had 48 new family members that she hadn't. They were cousins that lived out in California. And she had no idea they even existed until she, you know, was doing the experiment. So all these things want to come to you. I mean, I could go on and on about the various stories that people have sent to me about the different blessings that they've gotten.
This makes me chuckle because I have a friend who shares, who has a very different view of the world, and she sometimes laughs and says, well, these are things that I would view as a coincidence and you would view as a miracle. Mm-hmm. And we have perfect understanding and perfect harmony.
Yeah.
But so you're saying that miracles can be big or small, and maybe the smaller miracles are things that we might actually perceive as coincidences.
Oftentimes people do. I prefer the word synchronicity. And I've heard before that some people say coincidence is God's way of staying anonymous. However, I think once you start looking for, if you call it coincidence, that's fine. You can call it that. But actually, coincidences are going to start happening all the time once you become aware of that. So you can call it coincidence if you want. That's perfectly fine with me. But just enjoy it and let it come. Let it happen.
So you did talk about gratitude, Pam Grout, and I was just wondering if there's anything our listeners can do to really test this.
With the gratitude?
Or test it with the miracles, or, you know, if this this topic sort of arouses their interest. So what can people do to test?
Again, okay, set up a 48-hour, say, like right now, that at this moment, I am going to give the universe 48 hours to send me a blessing. Just put that out there. Be open to the fact that this could happen. Just be open to that happening and see what happens. And just keep your eyes open. Expect that you're going to have a miracle. Expect you're going to have a sign and see what happens.
And I suppose don't put a label on what the miracle should be.
Right, exactly. I do have an experiment later where I ask people to manifest or to get a particular thing that they put their mind on. This first experiment is just some like wink from the universe, some wink from God, if you want to call it that. There's a million words for this force that's out there, the quantum field, the quantum playground. A friend of mine calls it quantum Fred. But just to ask for that wink, that little signal that, wow, you are loved, you are being blessed, miracles are your birthright. Just ask for that. Give it 48 hours, write down the time right now at this moment, and then 48 hours later, see what shows up. Pretty simple, doesn't take much time.
And I suppose what you're saying is that try it, and if it doesn't work, then you can go back to the way you were.
You certainly are free to do that if you want to.
Pam Grout, I would like to ask you, how has your life changed? What are the biggest sort of I suppose, practical changes that have happened in your life since you started working on the Course of Miracles?
Well, I might be the last person people would expect to be speaking about this, because when I started studying the Course in Miracles in earnest, my boyfriend had just kicked me out of the house. We shared in rural Connecticut. I was 7 months pregnant, driving across the country in my little Toyota. I already had manifested a Toyota, but with all my earthly possessions. And so, you know, that's not, I mean, a lot of people judge, oh, wow, you poor thing. You know, that's really horrible. You're going to be the single mom. Life's going to be really difficult. But I chose to study the Course in Miracles and to see a different reality. And today, I mean, I get to travel literally all over the world. I'm a travel writer. That's the profession that the universe has given to me, because again, I'm a person that likes adventures and likes meeting new people and likes, you know, seeing new places. So as a career, I work as a travel writer. I also write for a lot of different publications. The thing as far as this book, you know, I wrote this book that's become this huge sensation, this huge book, 33 languages. I'm going all over the world talking about this book. And I had actually written the book 7 years earlier. But again, I think I was on a radio station that wasn't quite ready for all this success to happen. And I think once my daughter went off to university, so I was free to travel, I was free to go, and I was really willing to take it all, and I was willing to let the blessings come. And then just like that, the book completely took off. From a book, it started out with a different title, different publisher, then Hay House bought it, and you know, the rest is history. But honestly, I've always had just this remarkable life because I've been looking for magic and miracles. But I am not without the things that some people might call problems. But again, I choose not to focus on the problem. You can train yourself to be bipolar, or train yourself to be whatever it might be you decide your problem is, or you can choose to ask the universe for a different reality, a different thing.
Do you think, Pam Grouch, that what we want and what we need are the same thing?
Again, I'm not real one to do specific things that I want too much more, because I have so much faith that good things are going to come my way and that I will be shown all these wonderful things. I feel like sometimes we may not know what we want. We may not know what's best for us. I think what we all want is to love. I think we want to serve. I think we want to connect with everyone else. We want to be who we really are, which is this loving being of light. That's who we are. That's really what we want. And that's what's natural. That's what's normal.
I agree that we want to be, well, I suppose in unity, or we want to belong to something, even if it's driven by something that might be perceived as negative. Behind that, there is a desire to belong to something.
And to give your love, to express yourself. We all want to, I mean, that's who we are. We are these radiant beings of love. That is the truth with a capital T. And that's all we want to do, is know that, experience that, express that. And instead, we're expressing ourselves in this other way, which is fine. I mean, that's the big thing, is it's okay. We're always wanting to judge ourselves, beat ourselves up because, oh, I didn't do it right, or didn't do this. Whatever it is, two magic words that I like to say, it's okay. You feel really lousy today? That's okay. Whatever it is, that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Just be okay with whatever it is. And that's a little space right there to let the universe come in. Because if it's okay, then you're not judging yourself. You're not beating yourself up. You're not preventing the good from happening. Just be okay. It's okay. Whatever's happening, it's okay.
I like that. It's okay.
It's fabulous. It's fabulous. Very powerful words, but so simple.
We have just one or two minutes left in the show. And I really want to thank you for this hour. It's been fascinating and interesting, really interesting. I'm a big fan of miracles, and I see miracles everywhere. So I'm hoping that after this program, our listeners will start seeing more miracles as well. Sometimes they're very small, though, but they're still miracles.
I love small, big. It doesn't matter to me. I love every miracle. Like sometimes people write and say, should I call this my miracle? We get to decide, is it a miracle or is it not a miracle? Again, it's our perception.
I like that.
Yeah.
Everything can be a miracle.
Yes.
Pam Grouch, let's listen to the final song that you have chosen for us, which is really beautiful. It's Beauty Beside Me by Burning Sky. Would you like to tell us what made you choose this song?
It's very, it makes my soul feel really good when I hear this song. It's just a beautiful song to connect to. It's a Native American piece of music, and I guess that's where I come from. So good one for the Finnish listeners to hear.
Ohjelman tarjoaa Basan Books ja www.viisaselama.fi.